Words cannot describe who you are and what you are and what you're capable of. We invite you. Do we even say that? We invite you into our hearts, into our sanctuary. You're inviting us. I don't know which it is, but Father, I just pray for a really great experience here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, you kids are like the IRS. Look at all that money you collected.
All right. Have a seat. Oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, that is so delicious. So thirsty. Boy, I'm thirsty. Boy, that was good. I'm going to rest just a little bit, and I'm going to go back to doing some more work. What type of work? I'm thirsty. What's this? Wow, that tastes great. Wow, I wanted some more of that. Oh, that is wonderful. Oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, I'm thirsty some more. I ran out of that stuff. Oh, hold on. I'm thirsty. Yuck. That tastes horrible. Well, I don't want any more of that. I'll have to go to the store and get some more. Yeah! Oh, this stuff is great. 1 year goes by. I've drinking 3,000 of these. 25,000 teaspoons of sugar. Bring.
Hello?
Doctor, it's John. I'm having some problems, and I don't understand quite what's going on. What's happening is I'm getting headaches like all the time, and I've got the sniffles. I'm not feeling good generally a lot, and I get colds more than I've ever had before. I don't have a lot of energy, and I don't know what's happened. I don't know what the difference is. It just seems like it's kind of crept on me. I can't put my finger on it when all this started. Okay, yeah, I'll come in. Thank you. After I come home, doctor, thank you so much for these pills. I bet you these pills are going to do great. Hold on. Well, I think I feel better. Yeah, I think it's time for another pill. I still don't feel 100%, but the pills seem to help a little bit. And then one day, I wonder why exactly. What is going on? I'm reading some information here. No. No. Oh, no. Yuck! This is not working. Gross. That wasn't so bad. Hey, that's not so bad. You know what? I'm feeling better. Medicine? Sorry, never again. You're not my friend. You're my enemy. Point of the story is that God has outlined some ways of keeping ourselves healthy. And one of those ways is through natural means called water. And the point is that when you're young and you're forming habits, and the habit can be formed any time in your life, but when you're young forming habits, this right here, getting in the habit of drinking this, will prevent that whole situation that I just explained or just demonstrated to you. This is not a friend. This was not designed by God. It was designed by men who want to make money. This is designed by God, who wants you in the kingdom and loves you. Very simple thing. Drink water. Thank you. You can all go back to your seats.
All right. Let's have our scripture reading. Everybody grab their Bibles. Scripture reading is found in Daniel, the great prophet of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 11 through 16. It's a very interesting read we have here. 11 through 16. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat, water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies as you see fit. So deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of the delicacies of the wine, and they were to drink and to give them vegetables. Let God have blessing in his reading.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Ready to take a little journey with me? Okay. The title of the sermon, "The Health Message in Light of the Sanctuary," is really a little bit of a misnomer. I'm going to tie it into the sanctuary briefly here in the beginning, and then I'm going to share with you my experience. I feel sometimes, or maybe many of the times, that experience is worth a whole lot more than just advice. You know, just advice without any experience. And so I'm going to share with you actually my experience at something that has happened over the course of years and more recently that I believe will be of help to someone here today, if not someone's, okay? You know, our church is a movement, and our church has certain elements, some of which do not appear in any other denomination, the sanctuary being the one. And Dean and myself have shared various aspects of the sanctuary and, you know, what it means from the experiential standpoint of being a Christian in the antitypical Day of Atonement. And one of the things that our church has been identified very markedly is the fact that we believe in vegetarianism and we believe in health, and they use us as guinea pigs, you know, when they want to do studies, because we have a certain lifestyle that is consistent, relatively speaking, and they can use it to gauge, you know, how we compare with other demographics out there. That being said, in regards to the sanctuary, the question is, how does the health message pertain to the sanctuary or the experience of the Day of Atonement? I'm just going to point out just a couple of little things here, okay? Just something to consider. And it said that in the Day of Atonement, when it happened back in Leviticus 16:29 to be exact, it said to afflict your souls or afflict your soul. That was one of the requirements or one of the commands or characteristics or that one was supposed to do in order to cooperate with what the high priest was doing in the Holy of Holies. And what was he in there doing? What's that? He was interceding. And when during the process of him interceding, what was the high priest interceding on behalf? The people outside. And what was he doing in the process of interceding? Cleansing. And what were the people outside to do? Party? Not yet. But during that specific day, they were to afflict their souls. Well, you know, I was looking, Robin, for that. I was looking for where we're supposed to take off our jewelry, we're supposed to fast or whatever, you know. I didn't find it in that passage, in those passages. What I did find, though, was other passages that talk about when one afflicts their soul. Here's what I found. In Isaiah 58, 3 and 5, to afflict your soul means to fast, to be humble, especially when you're judged. In Exodus 33, 5 and 6, God was pretty upset with them because they had been given the commandments. It's like a beautiful new car, and then they tarnished it immediately. And he says, okay, look, we're going to have to do something here while I'm in the process of figuring this out, so to speak. I need you to go and humble yourself, afflict yourself, take off your jewelry. Why would God ask us to fast and take off our jewelry? There's a reason for it. It's a whole look. If I wanted to make you laugh, would I dress up in a clown suit? Would I at least, you know, I don't even need to do that. But I mean, if I was to do that, it would make you laugh. If I fast, I'm not like ready to go in disco and party. You know what I mean? They don't do that anymore. That's right. There's no disco anymore. You do certain characteristics for certain events. And in the Day of Atonement, you fast. The translation of that today is eat abstemiously, to have control over your own body, to do things all to the glory of God, including eating. Unfortunately, we have kind of defined ourselves so much so that people say, you know, the problem with you Adventists is that you talk so much about eating. And that's all you talk about. That's how you define your Christianity. When it should be really what? Jesus, and then we can talk about fasting, okay? Or eating abstemiously for the glory of God for a particular purpose. Look, once this whole thing is over with and we're done fasting, what has God got planned for us? Huge banquet that he said that I am not going to eat of this until this is over with. I'm not going to indulge myself. I'm going to wait for you. Big, huge table. They're still setting it. They've been doing it for about 1,000 years. It's huge. Let's go back to Daniel. Daniel was in a testing situation, and he's about to be judged. Basically, do you and what you believe and your God and your experience stack up to our gods, our philosophy, and our way of living? Sound familiar? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed in 6,000 years. And all Daniel was doing and his buddies were doing was what? They were eating abstemiously. And who were they exemplifying? Our first parents. And our first parents were fruitarians. And then after the fall, they were what? Vegetarians. All they were doing was going back to what they knew. And what they knew is that our first parents ate like this, and they were extremely intelligent, extremely tall. Now, I know they started that way, but they knew what it took to... They knew the health message, folks, 2,500 years ago. They had the health message, water and vegetables. And look what happened as a result of just 10 days. 10 days, that's all it took for them to prove their point. Fatter, smarter, not fatter, but, you know, healthier and smarter. And in 10 days, you could tell the difference. 10 days of just doing this. It's amazing. In 1984, I learned about the health message. I was in the Navy. The first thing I did was I gave up pork. The second thing I did was I gave up beef.
Then I gave up chicken. Then I gave up fish. This was back when we went overseas. I was going through this process. And when we were over in the Philippines, I said to my friends, whatever you do, don't eat the monkey meat. They would sell these skewers of monkey meat. It wasn't monkey meat. It was pork and chicken. But they would call it monkey meat. But I said, don't eat the pork. Don't eat the monkey meat. Whatever you do when you go out to a restaurant, don't eat the pork. Guess what they did? They ate the pork. And guess what my friend, who had 135 IQ, he would throw that out there every once in a while. He comes back on the ship, and he's shivering. And I said, did you eat the pork? He said, yeah. And then a second guy came in. Guess what? He was shivering. I said, did you eat the pork? He said, yeah. To the guy with 135 IQ, I told him, don't eat the pork. Several days late, I don't know, we were there on and off for 2 months. Guess what happened again with my friend with a high IQ? Did you eat the pork again? Yes. We may not get that here in the United States so easily or so quickly, but that did happen very quickly, at least in the Philippines. A lot of us settle in into our own interpretation of the health message. Some of us are extreme. Some of us could care less. There are some of us who still drink alcohol. Some still smoke. Some eat meat. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, though, that, you know, my father used to think I was the weirdest person in the world because I would eat, like, really healthy, and then I would drink beer. And he'd say, I don't understand why you're doing that. I don't understand why you're drinking beer if you're trying to stay healthy, he would say to me. You know, because there was this part of me that really wanted to follow this, really believed in it. And it was part of the culture. And so I did it. After I quit drinking beer, and that's a story in of itself, and I'll relate the decision that I went into doing that in just a second. After I quit drinking beer, I had a hard time stop eating late at night. Because the desire to, you know, to drink, okay, left, but I substituted with eating a heavy meal, Hungry Man dinners, whatever, you know, at night, and also heavy sugar, which is typical of most people that have drinking-related issues. I had a hard time getting away from some of those habits. And the sugar, as you probably all know, some of you remember my Oreo cookie thing. I don't hardly remember, but some of you do, and you bring it up every once in a while and stuff. But I still love Oreo cookies. And I'll get to that in just a second too. Here's the problem. We all settle into our own interpretation of the health message or non-health message. And what happens is that we become a product of, yes, of our own genetic making, but we also become a product of our what? Our own choices. We watch, not necessarily in this church, but in other churches around us, Adventists now I'm talking about, contracting heart disease, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity. Many of them are health-related. They're preventable. Here's the funny thing about it, and that is that we think we're healthy. Now, how many of you ever watched the show The Biggest Loser? All right. For those of you today, this is one of the assignments, or I'm going to suggest you get on Hulu, HULU.com, or you can watch it on Tuesday nights if you want to start at the end of the season, and watch it for free, The Biggest Loser. You will see people who are not necessarily religious, not necessarily looking for Christ, but they're what they're looking for. They're looking for reprieve from their own making. And they've decided to join this show and lose weight. And lose weight they do. And they go through heck, folks, in order to do it. It's the most unbelievable thing. The Dr. H, they call him, Dr. H on there, said at one of the finales, he said, the medical community out there said it was impossible to take people who are overweight and to get them on a restricted diet and to work them out like crazy and to lose weight and to become healthy and get rid of all their diabetes and all their health-related medicines. He says they said it was impossible, and we have proved here once and for all that it is possible. These are non-Adventists, folks. Danny Cahill, I got a chance to meet him. He is the world's biggest loser. He got on that show weighing 430 pounds. And in 7 months, he lost 239 pounds. He has the distinction of losing the most weight in the shortest period of time on the show. Danny said that when I was 430 pounds, I thought I was healthy. Interesting. There is a cell. You got to understand, we've got carnal natures. Hello! And carnal natures are what? Constantly what? Justifying, tending towards unbelief, okay? It wants to, does not want to believe, does not want to hold fast to these things, whatever it may be. It doesn't necessarily mean to be health, but I'm just saying in general. And we self-justify. It's just within our nature. It's within our genes, friends. It really is. I've done it plenty of times. And some of it out of ignorance. In 2008, I got a really bad case it was a rash. Remember that? It was a poison oak. And I was up at Camp Cherokee, and you know Jane Kuntz, Rick Kuntz's wife? She eats very abstemiously. I mean, she brings her own food to Camp Cherokee. I mean, she's really, you know. And you sometimes kind of look at them and say, well, what's up with that? I mean, why can't you just eat the salad bar and not have to go to such extremes, you know? I've thought that. And I said, hey, Jane. Jane was kind enough to put some poultices on me, some jewel weed and stuff, trying to, I mean, it was all up and down me here in various parts, but it was really wicked bad right here. And it was really, really bad. It was real bad. So while I was talking to her, I said, I'm having a problem with my joints. I work out really hard. I work out sometimes twice a day, weightlifting, running, and my knees kind of feel compromised. Sometimes they hurt. And she goes, what are you eating? And I said, well, I'm eating a little bit of meat once in a while, dairy, lots of cookies, lots of Oreos. She goes, you've answered your question. I said, really? She goes, yeah. From that point forward, I'll just deal with the joint ache in just a sec for this next moment. From that point forward, when I kind of took a break by eating some of these things and usually it wasn't a break for more than a day or two, my joints would feel a little bit better. And it was consistent. Every time I did that, my joints felt a little better when I would run. And I would run anywhere between 2.5 to 5 miles, 2 to 5 miles at a given stretch. And I went, huh. And then I'd hear things that confirmed this was true. So I said, Jane, I said, that's interesting. Okay, thank you. When I left Cherokee, and as this became better, there was a period of time where I was really overdoing it with the sugar. I was really hitting it hard. And suddenly, a rash that had appeared on and off on my body, lymph nodes, Clark, is that what they are? The lymph nodes right under the arm here? Right here, I'd get welts and itchy. On my back, I'd get itchy welts. My hands would swell up. My feet pads would swell up in the morning, and then during the course of the day, I'd be fine. But there was this one stretch of a week where I was really hitting it hard. I think my lymph, immune system, whatever, just said, enough is enough. We can't take this anymore. And my body went into complete, like, reactionary mode where I was welting all over. I was starting to welt on my face. It was itchy. How many of you ever had a reaction to something where you've had welts and itchiness, you know? Have you had? Okay. Me, it's penicillin, by the way. Really bad. Penicillin, and I just break out, you know, and I just itch in my eyes and ugh. So I said, all right, I better cut down on the chocolate. So I quit chocolate, see if that would do any good. But I ate sugar. This was during that few days where it was coming on. And the chocolate didn't seem to do any good. Then I said, I got to drop the sugar. And I dropped the sugar. That didn't seem to do any good. And the reason why I believe it didn't do any good is because I was there. I was there. My body was saying, no more, nothing, nothing. Went to the doctor. What do you think the doctor gave me? Prednisone, and which I needed. I couldn't function. I couldn't function. And the prednisone, which is a steroid, helped me not have to itch. Well, I was taking, I don't know, 2-3 pills a day or whatever. And then I started looking more into this, and I contacted Peter. I don't know Peter's last name. Parsons. Does anybody know him? Parsons, did you say?
Parsons, we'll see.
Peter Carsons is an Adventist. He's a German fellow who I met up through Kristen up at Cherokee. He is a health reformist. He's an Adventist, and he follows the principles. Instead of eating cookies, he eats fruit, which I thought was ludicrous. It's like, what's the point? It's like, I can have a banana in the morning. Why would I want that at night, you know? But I said, Peter, I said, help me. Help me. Now, the doctor's saying, let's go to the WHO. You got allergic reaction. Who are they going to send me to, huh? Okay, I've been down that route. I had the 20, you know, pricks and stuff, you know, when I was a kid, and I was found out that I was allergic to tobacco, tomatoes, potatoes, chocolate, dust, you know, various, you know, pollens, okay? No animals that I remember, but it was, you know, all that. And they got me a sponge pillow instead of a feather pillow, and I was taking shots once a week for years, and then they backed off to once a month. I did that for years. Doctors didn't say anything about the fact that I had two smoking parents and eating tons of sugared and milk cereal. Do you know what causes earaches? Milk, sugar, two smoking parents. I had bronchitis and pneumonia all the time. My parents didn't know it. The doctors didn't say a thing. They were treating what? The symptoms. Sound familiar? Okay. So, I'm like, I said to Kristen, I'll be darned if I'm going to go down that route. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go to an allergist. So I said, Peter, give me a diet. Peter gave me a diet. And I've shared it up here before. When I had to drink salt water, like a couple of quarts of it in the morning, instant diarrhea, had to flush everything out. And so I did it to the letter, everything. I ate vegetables in the morning, fruit in the evening. I he had me switching things around and no sugar, none, zip. 9 weeks of that. I was over at the Conabears and I'm like looking for answers. You know, we were talking about it, you know, and they just kind of added to it. Heidi was helping me out a little bit by encouraging me, saying a few things, and I'm trying to piece this thing together. And it wasn't happening, man. I was trying to get off the prednisone. It wouldn't work. I'd still itch. And I'm like going, oh, this stinks. 1 week goes by, 2 weeks go by, three, four, five, six, still nothing. Then I found out when I was at Heidi's that natural remedies, guess what? Take time. So I said, okay, that's fine. I'll take the whatever time it takes. 9 weeks later, I dropped 9 pounds. Yeah. And guess what? Went away. Went away. And I've eaten a lot of sugar since then, but no itchy palms, none of this. That all of it went away. You would think that I'd be grateful and I would be at least cutting down on my sugar tremendously, but guess what? Just like a dog who returns to its own, you know what? Yep. So, okay, that was in 2008. So, in 2010, I start to clean up my diet just a little bit. You know, we're talking about eating a little bit more raw. It's good for you, you know? I started working out a little bit differently. I've dropped 13 pounds over the last year. And here's what happened, though. I still have a love for sweets. I love for cookies. And I'm thinking that I'm what? I'm healthy. I'm in good shape. I don't eat that bad. Listen to what happens next. I'm in West Palm Beach, and my father passes away, as you all know. And this was in January. And we're coming back on the plane. I'm still eating cookies, okay? Coming back on the plane, and we get into some turbulence. And I have as close to you want to call a panic attack. And maybe some of you have actually experienced that. I'm not going to ask you a show of hands. It's embarrassing, to be honest with you. Both legs on the way home, I had an anxiety attack. And I'm like praying to Jesus. I'm singing hymns. None of it's doing any good. I am freaking out. So I come home, and the next morning, I'm shaving. And guess what? Anxiety hits me while I'm shaving, and it's uncontrollable. At least it appears to be. It's extremely unnatural, and it's extremely powerful. Some say, oh, no, John, it is natural. No, you don't understand. When you're 50 years old and you've never had that happen to you before, or my point is that that's not natural, to have no control over yourself emotionally and have to, as you're shaving, having a hard time even having a conversation, let alone you want to jump out of your skin with someone else. I went to the office. Somebody came in, just introducing himself. I'm standing there. I'm almost beside myself. I just wanted to take off and run. I was like, this is not me. What is going on with this? Then it's starting to encroach into my driving where I'm feeling anxiety driving. I'm like, oh, this is no. Uh-uh. I'm going to find answers to this. I'm going to find answers pretty quick. I go to the VA. I sit down with a doctor. I explain the whole thing to her. She says, well, there's a couple of different ways you can do this. You can do a psychologist. I said, sign me up. I have no problem with that. Let's sit down. Let's talk it out, okay? She goes, we can also give you a pill that'll make you more confident. Sign me up. I love to be confident. When you've actually felt this, you will do almost anything to get out of it. Then she says, then we got something a little more narcotic for you for those plane trips back and forth. I says, sign me up for that too. So she says, I'm not worried that if you're in a situation on the road and you're feeling a little anxiety or panic attack or whatever, you know, or if you're up on a high height or whatever, you know, but when you're shaving, John, and you're having this feeling, that's a problem. And I said, okay, sign me up. I got to do. So that went very, very well. My exam at the VA was actually scheduled a little more than a week or so later. So I was due to come back. Meanwhile, in February, I went down, and this is what changed my life. I went down and saw someone who I'd heard before. His name was Dr. Joe Esposito. And you folks may want to get to know Dr. Joe Esposito after I get done here today. He is from Georgia and from the Atlanta area. And it just so happens that Clark and Monica are aware of Dr. Joe. Have you ever listened to his radio show, or you're just never heard his radio show? He has a radio show that goes out to about 200,000 to 300,000 people. Now, what's up with Dr. Joe? Dr. Joe doesn't claim to be a Christian. Dr. Joe is not a Seventh-day Adventist, of course. But Dr. Joe knows the Adventist health message. He is a nutritionist and chiropractor. When you think, oh yeah, what can a nutritionist and chiropractor know? Dr. Joe knows the health message. And he has the seven deadly sins. And he goes through them all: tobacco, meat, dairy, sugar, coffee, artificial sweeteners, and alcohol. He says, don't do these things. If you're going to do some of these things, here's some alternatives. He's all about alternatives. I heard him several times and was very impressed with him. I had an appointment with him. I says, I'm going to talk to Dr. Joe. I'm going to see if there's anything Dr. Joe knows that I don't know. So I had an appointment with him. I met him. I have a picture, I don't know if it's up on Facebook, of me hiding a bag of cookies and him going like this to me. We took a picture together. Somebody gave me a big, huge bag because I needed a fix. And I said, hey, Tammy, can you hook me up? Yeah, John. Next day, she comes in with a bag of chocolate chip cookies for me. So I come back home. I didn't fare very well on the plane. I just, but I got home. I wasn't looking forward to it. And then I did my half an hour call with him. And Dr. Joe said, this is what Dr. Joe did. He asked me for one full week, explain everything that I ate and drank, what times, stool samples, what they looked like, how many times a day. He wanted to know it all. So I did that for a whole week. And then there was a three-part questionnaire of all the different ailments that you're going through. I talked about my anxiety. I talked about the joint pain and everything. Sent it in. And then he gets on the phone with me. And folks, when you're in the hands of an expert, some of you are experts in your field. When you're in the hands of an expert, it's a wonderful feeling. It's not Jesus. It's not God. But God can work through people, especially those who are operating under the things that we feel safe about, that we know are good. And I know the health message is good. There's nothing weird or unusual about it. He looks it over and he goes, well, looks like your hydrochloric acid is a little bit either deficient or too much or whatever he said. Yeah, looks like that. I think your pancreas is not working 100%, but it's working okay, but not 100%. Neither is your liver. And it's not processing the proteins. And he's going on and on and on. I said, well, okay, what do I need to do? And he went over my diet. He suggested some changes, and I knew what he was going to. He didn't even have to go into it. I already knew what I had to do. Then he said, I've got some supplements for you. I paid $400 for 2 months worth of supplements, okay? 5-6 bottles and a jar of what would be considered barley green, for lack of better words, okay? What they were with vitamin B. A lot of them were vitamin B, skull caps, some other things for my central nervous system. And what he said was, is that your B vitamins are getting compromised by the sugar that you're eating, and you need your B vitamins to supplement or to make healthy your nervous system so that you don't. Helps combat anxiety, folks. The sugar was helping to exacerbate my emotional issues. It was shutting down. So I said, okay, Dr. Joe, on the 25th of February, I made some drastic changes. Over the next several days, I immediately, though, said, no more sugar. None. We're done. Especially high fructose corn syrup. Bad. Wicked bad. Wicked bad. So we went through the house. And I was a little bit bold because this is my quest. And Kristen's been a sweetheart about it. But, you know, all of a sudden you're like, we're going to throw that away? And, you know, you're wondering if they're going to say, no, don't do that. I knew I had to take drastic measures. Guess what? 3 days. And my anxiety levels went down. 3 days. And I was able to drive without any anxiety on the easier areas. Still not out of the woodshed yet here, all right? But I feel fantastic. Matter of fact, the one shortly after we got back, I was up here and I was going to be speaking. And I was like not doing very good at all. Really, you didn't know it. I didn't want to tell you. It's embarrassing. 3 days, my anxiety level went from unhealthy to healthy. What else has happened? Well, I eat three meals. I'm a two-meal person day. I've been eating three meals because I got to take this Dr. Joe shake and pills, and I sometimes have a snack in the evening. I'm eating more food now than I ever have, and I am not gaining weight. I swear to you, I am not gaining weight. I'm still maintaining. I'm 207. I've been as high as 240. I'm at 207 right now. I'm only 2 pounds heavier than I was in 1980. And I am in fantastic shape. I've been working out. I ran 10 miles a few weeks ago, and I plan on doing a half a marathon a week from this coming Sunday, just on my own. I'm going to run from my home up to the Granby Center sign and run back. And I feel great. My nasal passage, very clear. It's not like messed up. My gum stopped bleeding when I flossed them. That took a couple of weeks, and they stopped bleeding. I hadn't been to the dentist in a year and a half. Usually we're every 6 months. We're trying to save a little bit of money. I went to the dentist, and the dentist says, your teeth are great. And I said, fantastic. My lungs feel clearer, okay? And my throat, smooth. I haven't had even though I've been eating sugar before this, I haven't had a sickness in over a year. And I feel fantastic. All right. We're going over, and it's been 8 weeks now that I've been doing this. Here's the unfortunate thing. The health message was at my disposal all the time. It's been there for 25 years, 26 years. But I didn't visit it because I didn't think it was necessary. Why? Because number one, I was enjoying my lifestyle. Number two, I'm pretty healthy. And so there was no crisis. Unfortunately, what happens for most of us, until somebody says, hey, Pat, you need to do this, or Pat runs into a problem, then Pat is willing to take the uncomfortable decisions, make those uncomfortable decisions. I read this morning that there's three things in order to succeed. Number one, you got to be willing to make a choice, right? Once you're, and most people are, most people may be hearing me today and say, you know what? I know there's two choices I could make right now that would dramatically or even improve my life this much today to make that choice. Then you got to have the courage, what? To do it. And then the commitment to see it through to the end. But when you do, those little action steps will produce remarkable effects long term. Now look, there are several motives, and I'm not going to dictate any of those motives today on why getting healthier or anything in your life would be better. The ultimate is all to the glory of God. Working with Jesus
cooperating with him in the, as the great high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, and all that Ellen White says about overcoming sin and how health can help you to do that and to communicate with the Holy Spirit, getting ready for the second coming. That's the ultimate. But if, folks, if you're not there, here's the next step down, doing it for somebody else. If I have done this in 8 weeks so that I can benefit somebody out there, just on that level alone, it was enough. And if you're not even helping other people, it's just not your thing, I don't care about them, then you can do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Do it for yourself so that you can live your 6 to 14 years longer, or just feel better, or stop, you know, being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Are you waving me up there? Oh, okay. I thought, every once in a while my wife says, and I really wanted to jump in and say this. So it was not one of those times. Look, I'm experiencing this right now, and it feels pretty good, okay? And I'm happy to receive your phone calls or emails anytime in respect to this, completely confidential. But Dr. Joe Esposito, folks, you can get a free consultation from him, and he will do absolute wonders to troubleshoot whatever it is that's ailing you. And it's drjoeesposito.com. Don't want to remember that? Call me or email me, and I'll be happy to pass it along to you. I can only share with you my experience. Your experience is going to be different, obviously. And so I just hope that in this last, you know, this last half an hour, that something that was said that will inspire you, encourage you to take whatever it is that you're doing in life and take it to the next step. Thank you very much. Oh, okay. This is a good. I said to Dr. Joe, while I was doing my consultation, I said, Dr. Joe, I want to let you know that what you're doing, continue doing it. Continue doing it. You're doing a great work. I said, our church is not doing the job that I would like to see it do. He says, oh, you're a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, yeah. And he goes, Ellen White. I go, yeah. He says, John, I have been trying to, for years to get into the churches, and nobody will let me come in and speak.
Church family, let's turn our closing song, Jesus is Coming Again, page number 213, and let's stand up, and we can really sing this, because this is our hope, this is our whole desire, Jesus coming again.
Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for gravity. Thank you for air and water and dirt and sand, and thank you for this beautiful earth that we live on, and I pray that we'll take good care of it, we'll take good care of ourselves, and Father, help us to look forward to the second coming of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Yeah.